Crotchet. You're listening to Crotchet. This Crotchet podcast is originating from the Crotchet homepage at crotchet.com. Your source for news, satire, reality, and fact-free analysis. Welcome. Crotchet.
Well, folks, it's been a hell of a week, again. Let's check in on what used to be called competent governance and see how the last 7 days have treated us.
Coming up, next week's news. A Crotchet look at the inevitable mess this week's news will create for next week. Now here's Crotchet.
Who needs spies? When you have Gmail. Turns out sending a list of CIA personnel over an unsecured email wasn't just a minor oopsie, it was a full-blown catastrophe. By now, several high-ranking operatives have mysteriously resigned, while others have taken extended vacations to undisclosed locations. Meanwhile, at least one intelligence asset in Eastern Europe has vanished entirely, though the White House insists that's totally unrelated, and that the real issue is the media's obsession with national security. To reassure the public, Trump's press secretary stated, "Look, it's not like we emailed the nuclear codes," which frankly isn't as comforting as they think it is. Well, folks, that didn't take long. Despite promises that Elon Musk was only getting read-only access to Treasury systems, someone definitely not Musk, we're told managed to accidentally route several billion dollars in federal funds through SpaceX servers. By the time regulators caught on, Tesla's stock price had skyrocketed, and rumors swirled that the IRS would soon be renamed X-Tax. Congress has called for an investigation, which the White House has dismissed as a bunch of nerds whining. Treasury Secretary and former MAGA podcast host Kash Patel assured the public Elon's a smart guy. He wouldn't steal from the government. He just, you know, moves money in exciting new ways. International aid agencies are still reeling from the abrupt shutdown of USAID, and the fallout has been nothing short of disastrous. Several long-term food and medical aid programs have collapsed overnight, leading to destabilization in multiple regions. The administration's response, not our problem. Officials insist that foreign nations should figure it out on their own, while Trump himself suggested that the UN could just do more bake sales or whatever. Meanwhile, China has eagerly stepped into the vacuum, offering billions in new infrastructure and aid deals to countries that, until last week, looked to the U.S. for support. So, for those keeping score, America is less respected, more isolated, and rapidly being replaced on the world stage. But at least we saved a few bucks, right?
Crotchet. You're listening to Crotchet.
Join Crotchet for a sharp, satirical dive into history's blunders, revealing their uncanny parallels with today's missteps in a segment we call Rinse and Repeat.
The inmates are running the asylum, a phrase so eerily fitting for today's political landscape that you'd think it was invented just to describe Trump's America. But no, this one has history. It first started making the rounds in the late 19th century, with a version appearing in the 1898 novel The Melancholy of Stephen Allard, where a character laments what happens when lunatics are given control of the institution. But it really gained traction in the early 20th century when Hollywood legend Cecil B. DeMille reportedly used it to complain about actors getting too much power in the studio system. Because what could be worse than creative people having a say in their own work? The phrase, however, has always been about something deeper. The idea that the least competent, least rational people have taken over the controls of something far too complex for them to handle. And if that doesn't describe our present situation, I don't know what does. Take Trump's latest stroke of genius, dumping billions of gallons of California water into the Pacific. Why? Well, he claims it's to help farmers, except his own administration's scientists told him that's nonsense. But when has science ever stopped a man who once suggested nuking hurricanes? Historically, America has spent over a century developing some of the most advanced water management policies in the world. But Trump, armed with nothing but his gut and an audience who cheers at cruelty, has decided to flush decades of expertise down the drain. Then there's his mission to start tariff wars with our closest allies and trading partners, a move so economically disastroos it makes the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act of 1930 look like a minor hiccup. That particular blunder, in case you forgot, helped deepen the Great Depression. And yet, here we are again, watching Trump pick fights with Canada, Europe, and Mexico like they're all out to steal his lunch money, all while American industries brace for impact. Of course, no asylum would be complete without mass firings. Trump has systematically purged career diplomats, scientists, and national security experts, people who have spent decades quietly keeping the country running. And who replaces them? Loyalists, conspiracy theorists, and the occasional MyPillow salesman. This isn't just bad management, it's the kind of self-inflicted disaster that would make the collapse of the Roman Empire look well organized by comparison. And let's not forget his ongoing crusade to dismantle NATO, cozy up to dictators, and host rallies where he just casually confesses to crimes. Because what better way to run a country than to burn every bridge, alienate every ally, and hope nobody notices that the lunatic in charge doesn't even know how government works? So yes, the inmates are running the asylum. But unlike its earlier uses, where the phrase was just a metaphor, this time, the patients actually have the nuclear codes.
Crotchet.
Hey folks, don't forget that all of these stories and features and so much more is available at the website crotchet.com. That's Crotchet with a K. So let's move on to a new feature called Brain Raisins, where I apply my astute but completely illogical logic to the world around us. Vegetarians, vegans, lacto-vegans, pescatarians. How about meat-eating vegans? I'm in the last group. Look, not eating meat isn't like global warming, where some political perverse thinking process can make you pretend it doesn't exist. Vegans live longer, vegans have healthier lives overall. They have lower blood pressure, less diabetes, less obesity, less arthritis, less inflammation, fewer bad knees, and sore backs. I'm not going to spout off a bunch of statistics to support my statements, mainly because I'd have to get them exactly right and cite my sources meticulously. That would be a lot of work. But I'm a meat eater, and I'm just as lazy as you. I know you. You think all of this vegan talk is nonsense, but you won't bother to check it out. Yet, if you did get off your proverbial butt for a few minutes, you'll find a ton of evidence telling you the same thing. You'll live better if you're a vegan. I'm a believer. Amen. Don't have to convince me of that. What you will have to convince me of is how I can get to keep any of those vegan weeds down my throat long enough to get any nutritional benefit before God makes me throw that crap back up. Most of that stuff was intended to be mowed, mulched, and put in a big plastic bag to be picked up on Thursday mornings. I really do want to be a vegan. I get it. Bacon isn't good for me. So please make some kale that feels, smells, and tastes like bacon. I know salads are very good for me. Lots of vitamins and, oh yeah, rough age. The only thing missing from a vegan salad is me. They all taste like crap if there isn't an ample supply of cheese, ham, turkey, and some white, fatty, mayo-like dressing. I always thought vinaigrette was just a French word for bleach. Supporters of the vegan menu always tout the benefits of eating healthily. That's all they can tout. It is healthful. It's just vitamins and minerals. No steak, no prawns, no grilled oysters. You weigh less because you eat less. You eat less because it all tastes like crap. But really, I wish I was a vegan.
Wake up.
Today's feature where Crotchet takes a deep dive into those uncomfortable truths we'd rather ignore, like discovering the good old days were mostly just bad decisions.
Welcome to another Crotchet Rant. Ladies and gentlemen, gather round for the latest episode of Let's Gut the Government, starring none other than Donald You're Fired Trump and his sidekick, Elon efficiency expert Musk. In their quest to streamline the federal workforce, they've decided that well-educated, well-trained, patriotic citizens are just too darn competent for their liking. Instead, they're rolling out the red carpet for untrained, unvetted, naive enthusiasts eager to execute the will of their leader, legality be damned. Take, for instance, the recent move to dismantle the U.S. Agency for International Development. Because who needs an agency dedicated to combating hunger, disease, and poverty worldwide? Clearly, those overachievers at USAID were just making the rest of the government look bad. Now, with their operations halted and budgets slashed, these do-gooders might take their talents elsewhere, perhaps to international organizations or foreign governments that actually value humanitarian efforts. Imagine the irony when former USAID employees start bolstering the very global initiatives that the administration deems unnecessary. And let's not forget the Environmental Protection Agency, another prime target on the chopping block. After all, clean air and water are so overrated. As the EPA faces significant downsizing, its scientists and environmental experts might find a warm welcome in private sector companies or nonprofits focused on sustainability. Or better yet, they could join international environmental organizations, contributing to global efforts to combat climate change, efforts that the current administration seems intent on ignoring. But wait, there's more. The Office of Personnel Management has been offering federal employees a deferred resignation program, allowing them to resign effective September 30th, 2025, while continuing to receive pay and benefits until then or not. It's like a game show where the prize is your own severance package. Of course, this unprecedented move has been met with confusion and concern as employees weigh the risks of losing benefits and job security against the uncertainty of staying aboard a sinking ship. In the grand tradition of replacing seasoned professionals with eager novices, the administration has been installing young, inexperienced aides into key government positions. Because who better to navigate the complexities of federal bureaucracy than a recent high school graduate? It's a bold strategy. Let's see how likely it will be that it actually pays off. As these well-qualified federal employees are shown the door, one can't help but wonder where they'll end up. Perhaps in the private sector, where their expertise will be valued and their contributions rewarded. Or maybe in academia, educating the next generation on the importance of effective governance. Wherever they go, their departure will undoubtedly leave a void filled by those whose primary qualification is unwavering loyalty to the leader. In the end, this grand experiment in government efficiency may achieve the opposite of its intended effect, as the loss of experienced professionals leads to decreased effectiveness and increased chaos. But hey, at least we'll have a leaner, meaner bureaucracy, staffed by individuals who may not know what they're doing but are more than willing to do as they're told.
Crotchet.
You've been listening to Crotchet. Be sure to visit crotchet.com for more opinions, ideas, and stories pertaining to our overly exaggerated sense of importance. Thanks for listening.
And this is how it ends.